Looking as a designer at the London gay organisations, a lot of the logos weren't up to scratch. They didn't represent the companies that well. And so I approached, I can't remember which one it was I did first. I think it was Schools Out. It was an organisation run by Sue Saunders and Paul Patrick. And I said, look, I like what you're doing. I really sort of believe in getting it, the word out to schools. But can I look at your communication design? It was obviously free of charge. And that was it. Started sort of working locally with a lady who I didn't realise was quite so famous at the time, called Linda Bellos, who used to live just around the corner in Nunhead. And we'd met at some LGBT event and give each other's lift home. And Linda and her partner Caroline Jones were running equality and diversity programs, and it matched up with my passion for getting, if you're going to produce a poster or if you're going to produce a piece of artwork, how can somebody who's blind see this, or how can somebody who's visually impaired see this? And in the same way, applying that logic to, how, if you're going to produce a poster for the Home Office, we did a lot of domestic violence information. I used to do a lot of work with an organisation called Broken Rainbow. We used to produce posters and information leaflets that were targeting the LGBT community, but in a way that wasn't, there wasn't rainbows plastered on everything, and it wasn't talking as a straight organisation to a gay person or a lesbian person. It was about actually using their language and coming across as, we understand. And that led on to doing quite a successful work with the Met Police. After the London bombings, we did a lot with the Muslim community in sort of terms of doing information design that wasn't going to be offensive to members of the Muslim community, asking them for help and assistance in sort of intelligence work or in bringing people to justice if they felt that they were overstepping the lines of their religion. But also alongside that, we was working with the police on various aspects of their hate crime campaigns on around LGBT work, and really making sure that any information or leaflets they sent out was as a complimentary or as positive light for the LGBT community rather than the usual negative that they used to send out. It was quite exciting stuff.
Any other groups you work with?
Yeah, we because after doing work with Sue. Sue introduced me to this idea she had for LGBT History Month, which is now quite a successful project. And they had a logo for it, which I instantly said, look, let me loose on this. And I did the core logo for LGBT History Month, which is the one that they launched with, fortunately. And I did the each year the idea was that they would change a new logo. And I think I did the first 3 or 4 years of LGBT History Month logos and identity and branding. Also did a rather nice logo for the London Gay Men's Chorus, and we did lots of information design for them. Again, it was part of a sponsorship project that my design studio was doing. It was great fun. We had a logo that was all based on multicoloured heads in a choral formation, and then you could just sort of take samples of it or adapt it to shape so that it would fit nicely on T-shirts or performances. But it was inspired by seeing them on stage en masse. I mean, you've got all these sort of faces singing, and it was the idea of just lifting that and playing around with the colours and the ideas that you could have from it. Briefly did some design work with the King's Cross Steelers Rugby Club. Again, that was a new, it was an update of their old logo just to make it a bit more modern.
Okay.
Yes,
I didn't know.
King's Cross Steelers are the, I think there's another one now, but they were at the time the only openly gay rugby team in the UK.
Right.
I believe there's about three or four now, and another one in London. I had a very hard time in my head coming to terms with my sexuality because I quite like children. I had this huge thing that I would want my own kids one day. Family-wise, at the same time as I was coming out and having that, my mum had a younger brother. And that sort of took the parental sort of feelings that I had, thinking, oh, actually, no, I want my own kids, I want my own kids. It actually took a lot of that burden off me. And I spent a lot of time with young little Sean. Over the few years now, I used to take days off work to go and babysit him and walk him around Greenwich Park. I think when he was 4 years old, I was a member of the Suffolk LGBT network, and it was it's a network that was designed for LGBT people to meet up away from the scene, so it's less threatening, more social. So instead of going out to gay bars and nightclubs, we'd meet in the Suffolk Pottery Cafe, all have coffee and paint mugs. It's a little bit more of a quirky mix, but it was good fun. And because I had Sean certain days of the week whilst Mum was at work, I took Sean along to things. So Sean done his first pride float when he was four with me, and promptly waving at everybody and fell asleep. So I went the whole pride with a four-year-old sitting on my lap asleep. It was quite good fun. Mum found it funny. She loved the photos, and she's never been afraid of exposing any of my brothers. I've got Terry and Sean to anything like that. So it was good. It was a good adventure. Sean's father died, I think in 2009 or 10, and that really completed my sort of need for children myself. As I sort of slipped naturally into the father role. And I still take Sean off on adventures, and he still comes traipsing around London with me, and we go off to various events. If I'm doing a talk somewhere, I'll often have Sean with me if it's a day that he's off school, and I think it's quite good fun. But for me, one of the big things was actually kids. That was a big decision maker in accepting my sexuality, not necessarily determining it, but certainly accepting it. Now he's older, obviously. I'm working with the Scouts, so sort of moving on to having that father figure, but for more children, which is good fun.
Did you think then I don't want to be gay because it means I can't have children? I mean, was it that you're thinking?
I think it was certainly, it wasn't a case of so much of a denial. I mean, I never went down the route of denying my sexuality. I think I'm quite an open person, and I think that openness applies to myself as well. So I knew I was gay. I mean, I knew I was gay since about 9 years old, and I had a crush on the boy that lived next door. But I've always been quite accepting of myself in that. But it was the issue that I'd grown up in a household where there was younger children around, and I'd grown up in a situation where I was often a babysitter with other people's kids, and I actually quite like the interaction of working with youngsters. And that was quite a hard thing. It was actually realising that I wouldn't have that of my own. And at the time, adopting as a gay man just wasn't an option. And I just sort of in my head concealed all that off, and that was it. Sean made it a lot easier. Mm. He's been a huge influence on me.
And what about being a donor or something? Did that ever cross your mind?
It didn't cross my mind at all. I think if I'd have thought of it, I may have looked into it more seriously. But I was always sort of secretly envious of other people that had that. Had the children and the sexuality balanced. Mm. At the time, I just couldn't see how to make that work in my head. One of the things which I think the Scout Association has been very astute at is realising that there are a lot of gay men and lesbian women, like myself, who wanted kids. Mm. And I think, without sort of sounding egotistic, I think that makes us very good youth workers. Mm. And the Scout Association has got it. They understand that. They know how they can help us and support us in doing that, and they know how that can benefit the kids. As a rule, gay men have probably more disposable time. They've got more disposable income. The same with lesbians as well. You've got that disparity. You haven't got a family of your own with kids, usually. Obviously, it's not in every case. And it's a way of actually saying, okay, we've not got enough scout leaders, but suddenly all of these LGBT ones can come in as scout leaders. That meets far more than the requirements needed. And we're starting to get scouts coming out at younger ages because they feel comfortable.